Bart and Han.
And we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Han show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart, why don't you show them on ESPN Plus your mug and what it says? Yeah, I don't need Google. My father knows everything.
Yeah.
Now, is that about your dad or is that your kids got that for you?
I bought it for myself. Because I do know everything. So when my kids see me hold it, you already know. Come to dad.
You already know. Right. Don't Google. Just come to me. Jay Will joins us via.
I'm sure he got a mug. I know he got a mug.
I was going to ask him if
he's baby.
What's happening?
I'm Jay Weezy. That's how I do it. That's how I'm buying you a mug like that. What it do, man? We got a lot to get to,
man.
I'm excited to have you on, man.
What's happening?
What we got today?
I'll tell you what. I know you're feeling good because. And I'll get to this. We'll get to this eventually. But no, Kevin Durant's playing amazing, and he looks terrific, and that's great to see on many levels. And I'll get to that in a moment. But I got to start out with this, Jay Will. Saw this report by Woj that the league and the players' union are discussing the possibility of holding an All-Star game in early March
where?
In Atlanta. Yes. As the likely
lemon, lemon chicken pepper wings. Nope.
Oh, yeah.
They're so good.
Lou Williams is going to bring a food truck. He just
Lou Williams is
going
to find
flavor.
A way to get to the All-Star game now. He's going to start playing out of his mind. But Jay, in serious question, why in right now, when you have teams that are barely, like they're missing an entire week's worth
it.
Of games, why do they
it,
want
Alan.
To do this?
I get the reasoning behind it, but like, why? You know, it's all these different variants that are out there right now. You know, I know some people have pandemic fatigue. I have pandemic fatigue. Mm-hmm. I'm dusting my house. I'm a grown ass man dusting my house, looking for something to do. Oh, is there a reason to go outside? Please, I'll run errands. Whatever you need me to do, like, send me anywhere. But, like, I can't put my finger on the pulse of why, when games are being canceled left and right, other than the revenue, why you would try to force people through. And if I'm a player, like, thank you for letting me be an All-Star, but, like, I'm not trying to go to Atlanta. I'm not trying to go to a place where I got
to
be around other
players.
Bro, have you seen what Atlanta is like, man? Atlanta and Florida, man, don't think it's a pandemic. I mean, I got homies that's going work out with no mask on. I got dudes in strip clubs. I saw a damn pool party, bro. You know how nasty it is to have an indoor pool party, the funk and stench and what's going on in that water? I don't even want to explain because Disney is a family show. Yet they want to send players to Disney and expect them. Listen, we all seen, Juice or New Jack City. When Pookie was in there, he was like, it'd be calling me, man. It's just calling me. So you got strip clubs open, some of the baddest women in the world, and you're going to send NBA players with the opportunity.
How about the best? Wait, you're going to send your best?
No, it's not about them. Yeah, the best, but it's also about the minions that are going to go to be part of the festivities. We know part of the festivities is being able to have some Dwayne Haskins hotel party, strip parties.
Oh, no.
We know that's going to happen. You come back, you have to shut the whole league down for a whole 3 weeks to quarantine. But we know what it's about, Jay Weezy. It's about the money.
Bart.
It's about the TV revenue. It's about having a virtual dunk contest and having it sponsored by Kia, Hyundai, whatever you want, Hummer, whoever's dropping something new and hot. It's about that. And the NBA is scrambling, trying to figure out, can we try and weasel $50 million? $90 million, and maybe revenue shared with the rest of the league so that we can get it. And why they pick Atlanta? Because Atlanta is wide open. Outside of Atlanta, Texas, or Florida, they didn't have any more options.
But let me explain.
The place to go.
Let me explain why, though. In the story, we'll just report that Chris Paul, who's the president of the union, has been a proponent of the idea because what
Hell
they'd
yeah.
like to do is showcase and benefit the HBCUs.
HBCUs, yeah.
Right, and come up with also ways to raise money for COVID relief as well. And they would use not just where the Hawks play, State Farm Arena, but also HBCU campus gyms under consideration as well.
Can you stop?
Turner
State
Sports
Farm?
Is located in Atlanta,
okay.
So that they also would be – you're right near a hub of where you'd have broadcasting.
Okay, here comes that vein part, right? What arena did you say?
It's called State Farm.
Arena. Chris Paul most of his money, most of his commercials outside of shoe endorsements?
Jake from State Farm.
Exactly. So always look for the hand washing the other hand.
And State Farm didn't get their Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes Super Bowl either when they were really hoping for that.
Exactly.
So, okay, but that's why.
But Bart, if you're going to say that it's all about the money, then if it were just all about the money, the best thing to do would be to think about what's in the long term interest of the league. Like, don't forget, there's also all these local TV deals that the league has that they have to hit this threshold of games to get a lot of this revenue. So
yes,
my thing is, if you're thinking about money monetarily, yes, you may lose out on some money, but still, to get to the end of the season, to complete the season and then go into the playoffs with your stars still intact and not and mitigating the risk for your stars should be at the utmost highest priority. That's what needs to be the priority. Because my thing is, if NBA ratings were already down last year to a degree, if we don't have our biggest stars in the game, you guys know how we do media every single day. And I'll tell you guys, we're the first one on the basketball side. If stuff ain't happening to LeBron James, right, or Kevin Durant or James Harden, most of the time we ain't even talking about it.
Yeah.
We're not even talking about it, right, because we're such a football-driven society that we live in because football is America's sport. I understand that. So with that being said, you need to ensure that your biggest stars are in the game to drive as much media value as possible because they are the ones that bring the ratings. And it just makes sense. So I wouldn't think short-term with an all-star game, considering where we are as a country right now with this COVID pandemic. I would think more long-term. That's the more practical approach.
We're talking with Jay Williams from KJZ joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Let me just remind you, though, that in New York, we are talking about Emmanuel Quickly and how he needs to be the starting point guard of the Knicks. So that is a priority
when we interviewed him, Jay Weezy. When we interviewed him, it was like above the rim. You know what I mean? When Dwayne Martin came in, he was like, "What are you, the point guard?" He's like, "What, coach? I'm all the point guard we need. Man, get to the back of the bus." That's what Quickly told us. When we asked him, we was like,
"And now Damian Lillard are having it out on the court, and he's letting them know, like, yeah, you're the present, but I'm the future." I love that. Anyways. Let me talk about, though, as you mentioned, if we're not talking about LeBron, we're not talking about the NBA. This is from StatMuse, and we're at the quarter point of the season, by the way. It's amazing. The first quarter of the season's for most teams anyway, although some teams haven't gotten to game 18 yet. But those who have, it's the quarter point of the season. LeBron James right now is averaging 25 a game, 8 rebounds a game, 7 assists per game. His shooting slashes are 50, 41, 71. Oh, and he's playing less than 33 minutes a game. So according to StatMuse, he's on pace to become the first player in NBA history to average 25-7-7 in less than 33 minutes per game. He's on the best team in the league. I know we came into this season saying Giannis, maybe Luka's up
MVP,
next.
Man.
You know, who's going to do it? Right? You would agree. LeBron James is still at 48 years old, however age he is, the best player in the NBA.
Last night, I'm sitting there watching this damn Cleveland game.
Oh,
and I'm watching the end of the third quarter, and I see LeBron, because he loves shooting over that right shoulder on that fadeaway, goes over the right shoulder fadeaway, misses, right? I don't know who the hell it was, but one player from the Cavs bench got up and started talking to Bron. And I watched Bron's eyes kind of channel, like, who the hell? Who are you? What? Word? Okay. It's funny, like, sometimes you find these moments throughout the courses of games where everybody gets inspired. Like, and Brown looks for these types of challenges, and that's when he drops 21 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that he can still turn it on like that at his age for how he does it, no wonder there's so much damn in common with him and Tom Brady. Like, both these guys are defying, they're beating Father Tom, like Tom versus Time. Like, yeah, Tom is winning this. It's crazy. Like, LeBron is winning this battle right now. He is the MVP. I know guys like Luka and Kevin Durant and Joel Embiid, they're second, because right now, with the time he's playing, he's on the best team in the league.
Yes.
The best record overall in the league. It's not a question.
And how much easier is the game for him because he has so much talent around him that he can pick his spots and you can't, try and double him or can't try and build a wall because he has trained killers around him that all know their role.
He had 7 threes last night, Bart. He had 7 threes last night. When he's shooting like that, if he's shooting like that, call it quits. Stop. It's game over.
Yeah, when he's shooting 41%. He's shooting 41% from three, and that's amazing. You brought up, you know what? It's interesting. You brought up Tom Brady here, and that, and we've made this parallel, and I want to see if you see, because obviously you follow the NFL, but you know the NBA as well, and you've seen the last 10 years LeBron's impact from 2010 forward, and how players have become empowered to control where they want to go, how they want to do things. We just saw it happen in Brooklyn, right? Now we're starting to see that. I remember many off seasons where NFL, you're in July and the NBA is going through their off season where players are getting these guaranteed contracts and players are moving around, and the NFL players would always remark about how it's incredible what they can do. Now we're starting to see the LeBron influence creep into the NFL. Wouldn't you say, looking at Tom Brady, what he did is basically out of LeBron's playbook. Get me out of a situation where I just can't win the way I want to anymore, and get me to where I can win more before it's over for me. And I can get the players I want. I can get more control. What he has in Tampa is exactly what LeBron got in L.A. with the Lakers. Wouldn't you say that's pretty much the same?
Yes, and that's why I'm saying, if I'm A-Aaron, yes. I just lost to a guy that got himself out of a crappy situation where he didn't feel like it was going the way he wanted. And now he ended up in the Super Bowl the next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I'm Aaron, I'm looking at all these other situations, being like, "Hold on a second.
I'm going to
Hold on a second. We haven't drafted a skill position player for me to utilize my whole career here, essentially. Yeah, Davante Adams is great, and MBS is great. Oh, I have some pieces, but like, damn, what the hell is going on here? And then I don't get the ball. Like, you know, I didn't get the proper communication in my ear. Like, why am I not looking at other opportunities where I can go directly to a Super Bowl and capitalize on my talent?"
Yeah, Jay Weezy, MVS would probably be the fifth receiver behind Scotty Miller on Tampa Bay's team.
Yeah.
You know, so I think we boosted him up a letter. They gave him A.J. Dillon. They gave him a 250-pound tailback when he already had two tailbacks in front of him. I tell you what, if we had to do this, because we talk about the greatest of the greatest, right? Like, because at some point we got to say who's the greatest athlete of all times, like, period. You know, for a while it was Gretzky. You know, for a while, because of what he was done and how great he was and the separation from him and the next best hockey player. But who would you say is the greatest athlete of all time? Would you say LeBron right now or Tom Brady? If you had to pick two, you had to put one on above the other. Who's the greatest athlete of all time?
Michael Jordan.
See, I have a hard time answering this question, Bart. Like, how athletic is Tom Brady, though?
Yeah, but I'm talking about his mind's athletic and his ability to throw the ball is athletic. I'm saying the best athlete. I'm saying, like, the ultimate winner. Let's do that.
We're not talking about, like, he's a great gymnast. All things encompassing, because there's no other
better,
way to
better,
use.
Better career, pro. Most impressive career.
Yeah, pro, yeah.
Tom Brady, man. I think that – You know, I got in an argument with Key about it. I'm like, Key, how are you even arguing this? How are you even listening to yourself?
Because you know what he is. He likes to argue. He don't believe. Yeah, he don't believe half the stuff to come out of his mouth.
10 times? Like, this guy has a chance to go for his 7th? I mean, somebody was doing a stat. I think Tom Brady has a higher chance, a higher probability percentage of reaching the Super Bowl than Stephen Curry does making a 3-point shot. Yeah. I think Tom's like at 45% or something. I think Steph's overall career is like 43%.
Here's the tiebreaker for me,
Jay
Weezy. The tiebreaker for me is the fact that, I mean, they're both great. They both have accomplishments. Both have titles. They both did it their way. But for me, I put Tom Brady above LeBron James, because LeBron James is 98% victory rate, where Tom Brady is 100%, because Tom Brady has not only won the battle from the players and the team and the league, but he won the battle with his hair. The only battle LeBron ever lost was the battle with his hair, and Tom Brady still has a beautiful lock of hair,
and he's
aging beautifully. The salt and pepper on the side, I tell you what, I know we used to talk about Prince and how you used to say you can't look Prince in the eye. I'm having a hard time looking Tom Brady in the eye without being mesmerized.
But, Bart, can I say this, though? I do feel like what LeBron went against a couple of times when they lost in the finals to that Golden State team with KD, Steph, and Klay. It's kind of what Tom is about to see right now with Kansas City. I don't know if – and you help me out, Bart, because you're a football guy.
No, absolutely.
I'm not great history-wise. I kind of feel like Kansas City is that version of Golden State. I don't know if Tom has faced an opponent like this in the Super Bowl before.
Yeah, I think he played – well, it was his first one, the early one, the greatest show on turf when he had Marshall Faulk, Isaac Holt.
Yeah.
And he was just a baby. But he had a grown defense behind him that can neutralize that team, and I think he did. But, you know, not since then has he ever faced an offense with this type of firepower. You know, you talk about Marshall Faulk, Torrey Holt, Isaac Keane, Torrey Holt. You know what I mean? That was tremendous right there with Troy Orlando.
So good you mentioned him twice.
Yeah. Oh, my bad. who's the other one? Oh, Isaac Bruce.
I know sometimes we can become prisoner of the moment, but I mean, just look at Patrick Mahomes. I mean, MVP, then wins the Super Bowl, and now it's back in the Super Bowl in the span of three years. That's Kelce. I mean, all these dudes are in their prime. Like, what's their runway?
Right.
I mean,
right.
I would argue
that we would have still been talking about Russell Wilson in this breath, if they would have just handed off the ball, he would have had a run where he could have won one or two or maybe three Super Bowls early. And the fact that Kansas City learned from that and they doubled down on their guy and held everybody together, even paying everybody all this money, is going to write the proper narrative. Because, yo, I think Mahomes is going to have this early window, but after this early window, the rest of his career is going to be hard because it's going to be hard to keep these type of talented players.
Well, the cap does that.
Yeah, as the cap does that. So this is time for his legacy. The fact that Tom Brady did it for 20 years is amazing. See, I don't know. I think that's
the best. He always took less.
Right.
I do believe that if Tom Brady is able to beat this Kansas City Chiefs team, the same way if LeBron is able to beat Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie, like, it can go down as one of the greatest defeats of all time. Like, it really – I mean, look at both those guys, since we're talking about both of them, look what they have to go through in order to ultimately win a championship team. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, I know they lost two games. I mean, one game was when nobody was damn near playing because they're getting ready for the playoffs.
The only thing is
against the Raiders.
Right, but the one thing is going into this game is that there is – to me, there is sort of that kryptonite, is they have those two edge rushers and the two tackles for the Chiefs are out, and that could change things. We got 2 weeks to talk about that. We're talking with Jay.
Sammy Watkins back, though.
We're talking with Jay Williams on the Goodyear Hotline. And, Jay, before we let you go, though, there was another topic on the NFL that I know Bart and I both wanted to talk to you about, and that involves something that – When I mentioned this to Bart before the show, he didn't hear about this, and it happened over – it was something that was reported over the weekend, and it blew his mind. And that is the Texans interviewing Josh McCown to be their head coach and bringing in a Jim Caldwell sort of as like maybe pairing the two together. McCown with zero experience as a coach whatsoever. Now, they are interviewing Leslie Frazier again. They're the last team to hire, and we saw a lot of black coordinators – in the championship on championship 50% weekend.
50% of the coordinators in the championship game was African American, man.
So, you know, we're looking at this as we talked about Rooney Rule and we've discussed how this is, it's almost like making a mockery of it. But, you know, it's easy for me to talk about this stuff, but I think for you guys, it's a lot more pertinent. I know Bart has something that feels a certain way about it. And I'm wondering if you are keeping an eye on this as well and having the same feelings that Bart's having.
Well, first off, I've known Josh McCown for a long time. I really like Josh McCown. I think he's a really smart individual. I am not going to knock him for getting an opportunity. I'm not going to knock anybody for having an opportunity to, you know, be a quarterback in this league, backup quarterback for a long time, pretty much get paid this year to sit at his house in Charlotte, which is great for him and his family, and then get an opportunity for an interview for a team. I just wanted to be equally distributed across the playing field for everybody. I want everybody to get the right chance, and I want everybody to get the right at bats, and I want everybody to get the right hits. And right now, it just feels like the people, you know, talking about Byron Leftwich. Everybody keeps talking about Andy Reid is so great at play calling. I'm like, well, how about Byron Leftwich? He's the one actually making the plays, or you know, it's Bruce Arians. Excuse me with that situation there in Tampa. But, like, I want it to be equally distributed. And right now, it doesn't feel that way. But I'm not going to use that opportunity to knock Josh McCown.
I will.
Right? Like,
I will.
I know you will, Bart, but, like,
bro, this dude was an average. But he was an average football player. This dude gets to skip the damn line. He's never even coached before. He gets to skip the line against guys that have paid their dues.
But
guys
got an interview. He got an interview. It's not meaning he's actually getting the job.
Yeah, but tell me this. Okay, how many interviews have Byron Leftwich got? He was a better player than Josh McCown. He's paid his dues, and he's actually coached in the league before. And Josh McCown gets to skip the line. It's a mockery of the rule, Jay Weezy. And I think if I'm an African-American player, or coach, I'm not even interviewing. I'm not going to be part of fitting into your quota so you can hire somebody else when you've already decided who you're going to hire before, right? Just like it was a mockery that we all knew that they were going to hire the general manager in Houston because they got fined and docked last year for tampering from New England, from trying to steal him from New England last year. So why, if you're a black general manager, why go out there to make a mockery? It's crazy that African-American coaches – have to go, and not only do they have to coach for their legacy, they got to coach for their race so that other African-American coaches can get an opportunity. If you're a white coach, you just coach for yourself. You don't worry about your race. You get to just go and say, you know what, I'm good enough. I get to prove if I'm good enough. Not that you have to carry the burden of making sure that you're good enough for everybody else. And time after time, watch, I guarantee you, somebody's going to pull Dan Orlovsky out of ESPN and his note and his iPad when you can. If that's the case, put me in there because I will put my football acumen and we can get up on a chalkboard and we can talk schematics all you want. And I guarantee you, if I'm not as equal, I'm greater than anybody that they got working in this space. But we know that I won't get that call. But a guy like Dan Orlovsky, a guy like McCown gets that because they fit a narrative and the people hiring them see themselves in the people that they're hiring. And they don't understand and don't want to understand the plight of the African-American, and they want somebody that's relatable that they can talk about growing up and what it's like to be white and American. They know they can't do that with African-Americans. It's an uncomfortable conversation that this country needs to have, and just because somebody doesn't look like you doesn't mean that you can relate. And if you really talk to them, you'll realize that we have more in common than we don't have in common, and that you shouldn't judge us by what kind of clothes I have on. You talk about Ray Horton, who could never get an interview because he had braids. Who cares what your hair looked like? Luke Walton looked like a hippie to most of his life, but I guarantee you he can get the opportunities. But meanwhile, because Ray Horton has braids, he can't get opportunity because I don't fit a narrative because you don't want me as the face of your organization. But meanwhile, we make up 70%, Jay Weezy. We make up 70% of the players in the NFL. So obviously we're good enough to play, and guys like Byron Leftwich is good enough to coach. He's good enough to do that. When we get to this Super Bowl, Jay Weezy, we're going to have 75% of the coordinators in the game are going to be African American. Eric the Enemy on the Kansas City side, and the four coordinators that's on Tampa Bay. But none of them have really got a real opportunity to be a coach, but they're good enough to get their teams and their organization to the Super Bowl, which is what we're supposed to be coaching for and what we want. We want people to be able to win championships and put hardware in their trophy cases, and these guys are good enough to bring them there. They're just not good enough to speak for them.
Bart, I think you made a lot of incredible valid points, and I recognize and hear how frustrating it is, and just know that we share in our anger together. I just also know that, you know, I've spoken to a lot of people who I value their opinions, who are executives for Fortune 100 companies, and every time that they've hired somebody that's diverse, it's been done with intent, with the intent to hire somebody to bring in a diverse perspective. By being a minority, right? It's been actively going out and pursuing somebody specifically who is a minority because they know what value they bring to the table. But I'll tell you something, a lot of these guys that I spoke to don't have a lot of African American friends. Right. They're not in the room with a lot of African Americans. So there will be subconscious biases that are just maybe ingrained in people's minds. And it doesn't make them all bad people. It's about recognizing that. And I'm also not pulling a blanket for all of them either, right? Like,
It should be diversity training so they can understand. Because we can't talk about what we watched growing up, because you watch Leave It to Beaver and I watch Martin, don't mean that we don't have something in common. You know, and that's what it is. It's an uncomfortable thing, like when you see somebody that you really don't know, and it's that awkward moment because you don't share in the culture, music, or anything
Bart,
in common.
Let me ask you this question real quick. Let me ask you this question real quick. Mm-hmm. When you go, have you ever, you've been to meetings with owners or mm-hmm. meetings with GMs, or you've
yep.
been to country clubs before, right? Okay, so like when we go to these places, how many times do you see, like if you're in a room of 100 people, if you're going to like an owner's party, how many black people do you see at the owner's party? Most of the time.
Not many.
So it's not, that's what I'm saying. That world is not a reflection of the world that is then on the field or on the court. Like I recognize that all the time. There are a lot of times I'm the only black person in the room, right? So like there is that affiliation of, how do you get more in the room? right? Because I see other people that are just in the room because they're just in the room and they're connected, making dots. I'm like, all right, well, I'm connected, making dots too, but there's a lot more of you guys in there than me. So it's how do you increase? I think with that training or with, you know, addressing it, it's still not going to change the norm for the way a lot of these guys live in the world that they're in. It comes, and I don't have all the answers. I don't know exactly what the answer is, but like it has to be done with intent. That's what I do know. It has to be done with intent, and it has to be done with the people that are willing to make those changes because they see those changes happening in the world, and they want their organization to be a reflection of where the world is at.
It's obviously a conversation that has to continue and certainly will, unfortunately, but it's a good one to have. And, Jay, we do appreciate you having it with us here at the end of this segment. So thanks again, as always, for your time. It's always great to have you on, and we'll probably have to have this conversation again, but we appreciate you, man.
And I'm with you, Bart. I feel your pain, man. It's not an easy conversation, brother. And I'm angry, too, just to let you know. Yeah, I know I'm trying to come across and try to be a little bit more deliberate and think through it, but just know and believe I'm on the same page.
No, it's all good points by you. And that was Jay Williams giving us a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Well, you can react to this at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That all coming up next. But before that, Bart has this from DraftKings.
And we're behind, so I'll read pretty fast. Pigskin fans, DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. Enter the free prediction challenge, answer the question like who will score last, and boom, get ready to make it rain. Download the DraftKings app now or use promo code BART to enter to win free $55 million prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. That's promo code BART only at DraftKings, the official fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. Ha holla.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, ESPN app. Yes, Matt Spica. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. We are brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. As we were also talking about Kobe Bryant, Bart, and the anniversary of his passing, it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just when you get old, you think more about loss, but it's like in different people that affected your lives, icons and whatnot. And I brought this up, and I know we did this back in October when he passed away, and that's Eddie Van Halen. Today would have been his birthday. It's just, you know, like these things pop up and it just makes you think, right? Eddie Van Halen, another one of these icons, generational icons, and we just seem to be focusing on losing them. And anybody who's younger who doesn't, you know, you don't feel it nearly as much because that's your generation. So you'll see in time as people that affect you now, people you're big fans of now, people we talk about on a regular basis. Yeah. It is amazing how the loss affects you because you might not know them personally.
Right.
But they affected your life in some way, and therefore their death affects you as well as Kobe and Eddie Van Halen and several other people we've been talking about over the past year certainly have.
Yeah, my dad wrote a poem a long time ago called The Curse of Caring. And what happens is we adopt we adopt these stars because sometimes people don't have parents, they don't have influences, and they either gravitate to personalities and people that they wish they can be like, and they inspire them and they help them throughout their life, especially when you think about music and how music helps you through the tough times of your life. And I can say everybody's life has its own soundtrack, and you can know where you're at by when you hear these some of these songs or where you're at in your life and how it helped you get through, and you can hear the pain because most artists – you know, their best work is from their pain. And we realize that we're not so different from them, right? And so that we learn that if they can endure and they can come through on the other side, that we can too because they're speaking to us because it's all the American dream. All we want is to be successful, live our dreams, and have a happy life. And that road is sometimes bumpy. And you think about guys like that, you think about athletes, right? I think about, I know people always laugh at me, and people who don't know me as everybody in the world is starting to get to know me. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I grew up around all black people. My first, only had one white student in my entire school. I was really segregated. And, you know, I grew up in the 80s during the height of the drug and gang era. But, you know, for me, the person that was my biggest influence, they always laugh when I tell them, was Hulk Hogan because he was telling me to eat my vitamins, say my prayers, tell me to believe, and all. I thought I was a little Hulkamaniac.
Were you a Hulkamaniac? Were you a little Hulkamaniac?
Yeah, I was a Hulkamaniac. And then just imagine, we talk about all these people that they talk about, they meet their heroes. Well, guess what? Guess who I was rocking with when I got tapped out by Kurt Angle? Hulk Hogan was who I was hanging out with, him and Ric Flair, my idols, my heroes growing up. You know what I'm saying? And it was amazing. But he helped me to be a better person because of what he preached. And, you know, so when you lose people and the older you get, you reflect, and it also gives you a sense because we look at them as superheroes, right? And now then we start to see their mortality. So when you lose legends like that, it makes you reflect on your mortality. Now, the young whippersnappers don't know what that's about, but don't worry. In due time, you will.
Yeah, yeah. There's certainly no doubt about that. I know everybody knows you as the Mad Backer. Everybody knows you from your days with the Ravens and the Jets, and everybody has you on their phone, as we talked about when we celebrated the anniversary of Can't Wait. You know, all you got to do is just tap it in when it comes to the GIFs, and that comes up right away. And everybody has a reason to use it or even just say it on a daily basis. But, you know, your passion comes out when you and I, like, that's the thing, too. And we just talked with Jay Will about opportunities for black coaches in the NFL. And there are some people that responded on social media that were happy that you took that strong of a stance. And there's some people that were like, turn this guy's mic off.
Well, that's
because
okay.
They don't want to hear that kind of stuff. And, you know, you talk about, we both kind of grew up in that same, you know, that same era. I grew up in the 80s as well with a very different background, but yet similar interests. And you've said that. What you said is really what strikes me, is you and I are from really two different areas, but not really two different upbringings. Because mine was predominantly white. But not rich. I grew up in a lower middle class neighborhood at the time, and I grew up with things I couldn't have. We couldn't afford, and I had to learn to live that way. I also had influences that I watched on TV, and my influences, coincidentally, were people like Michael Jordan. You know, like yours was Hulk Hogan, a white guy. Mine were black. You know, and that's just how it was for me when I grew up. I didn't look at it any other way. But that guy's cool. I like that guy. I want to be like that guy.
See,
you know, that's just how it is. And so when we remove all that stuff, when we realize that that's kind of the one thing that does, that is the one thing that does connect us, is it's that our influences are, if the more we talk, the more we realize we aren't that much different. We're all the same in some way. It's just from a different, we're always coming from a different angle.
Right. And I would say to those people who turn his mic off, those are the people that I need to have a conversation with.
That's true.
So they can understand
you're the one
my
that
perspective
need to listen more than
and I can listen to their perspective as well. So then we can come, agree to disagree, but we need to have a conversation. And the problem is we don't have that uncomfortable conversation, so we never move forward. We're still talking about Martin Luther King and honor Martin Luther King, talking about judge you on the contents of your character, not the color of your skin. We're basically having the same conversation, but in the arena of inclusion in a sport that is dominated by 70% black athletes that just say, hey, don't look at me as an athlete. I'm not the show pony. Appreciate and love my mind, and because my mind is what makes me a great player too, not just my body. Because if that's the case, the best athletes would be the best players. We understand that Mahomes isn't the best athlete. You see him scramble. He's not Lamar Jackson, right?
So Tom
you
Brady's see that, a great example of that.
Exactly.
Not
so
the fastest guy, not the biggest arm, but
greatness comes in every shape and size, and that's what Mike Singletary told me, who was every bit of 5'10". Not fast, not strong, but arguably one of the best players to ever play his position. And that's all we're saying. Give us a chance. Like, give us an opportunity, equal opportunity, because if we can be great players, we're thinking the game then. Ain't nobody thinking for us when we're trying to figure out, oh, where did the safety invert? You hear Bill Belichick talk about Randy Moss. What's the narrative on Randy Moss? Bill Belichick, one of the greatest minds in football history, says that Randy Moss may be the smartest football player he's ever been around. How many people think about that when they see Randy Moss? If Randy Moss said, I want to be a coach, he's probably more qualified than Josh McCown or any other football player to do it, but he doesn't get that same respect.
I'm sorry. Sometimes we're too focused on the package and how it's being set. Like we're too focused on what it looks like and what it sounds like instead of what's actually being said. I think we get too caught up on that. But anyways, like I said before, it's a conversation that never ends and has to continue, and that's what we try to do here today. All right, coming up, making moves as we watch. Will baseball Hall of Fame, will there be moves made there with this year's class, or will it be for the first time in a long time no one inducted in the Hall of Fame? We'll discuss that and some other moves going on in baseball today. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Hahn.
My sister used to sing this all the time in the house.
Damn.
You let me know. I didn't even know. And I'm the guy that's from Detroit, Michigan.
Today is Anita Baker's birthday.
And you know Anita, she used to throw up before every performance because she had, like, performance anxiety. So she's get so nervous that she throw up. I love her to death. I love
like
her
Stephen
voice.
Like Stephen Willie Beeman.
Yeah, I love her music. Everything's great. Worst IHOP in the history of franchises.
Yeah, you say this.
Cold pancakes. And listen, everybody
Ms.
in Michigan
Baker,
that's
we got to fix this.
Everybody in Michigan that's listening to us on Jefferson near Grand Boulevard, they know exactly what I'm talking about. You go there, the service was horrible, but people went there because we loved Anita. But she gave us cold pancakes, and that's
what
not cool.
Voice.
That's not
One
cool,
of the
Anita.
Syrupy voices you'll ever hear. Happy birthday, Anita Baker. All right.
You think about Sade, you think about Anita Baker, you think about people with those soulful voices that never really made a lot and never was really mainstream. You know, when I say made a lot of music,
you're right. Not mainstream is fair.
Yeah, Sade go out and have a baby. She leave and she just super sexy.
This is again why we need a post show podcast. But right now, what we need to do is make some moves.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
And it's Barton Hahn. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. So make some moves. How about some moves happening in baseball, Bar? Trevor Bauer, the reports are that the Mets are in the lead to bring him in. That'd be huge for them. And on the Yankee side of things, Masahiro Tanaka talking about going back to Japan. That part interesting as well. And also today, quickly, at 6 o'clock, the ballots will be revealed for baseball's Hall of Fame. And the word is, no one will be on it this time around.
It's a mockery without Barry Bonds. You can't tell the story of baseball without those guys. And if that's the case, I want to automatically disqualify El Tuve because cheating is cheating. And if you had a cheating schedule where people got punished,
El
Tuve know how cute he is. He looks like a little micro mini pimp. He got to go.
But if you cheated.
Yeah.
Oh, you're dropping that at the end of the show. That's not fair. We'll have to get to this tomorrow because I know there's people that are going to want to talk about this. Altuve not in the Hall of Fame because of cheating. Bart, see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.